Yeah, 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 come and take a look at the snow. Bright white as far as your eyesight goes. Come and take a look at the fields of snow. I'll just get my coat, then we're good to go. Come and take a look at the lake. Let's have a quick skate before it gets late. Come and take a look at the frozen lake. Put your clothes on, mate, don't make that mistake.
Greetings, holiday shoppers. There are now 239 shopping days left until Christmas, and I think you know what that means. That means it's time for another fantabulous episode of Christmas Creeps, your one-stop shop for holiday movies and TV shows all year round. Hi, my name is Joseph Wade. I will be your host for this evening. Here with me tonight are my co-hosts, Johnny Five, the human robot.
Bah humfucker, whatever the hell.
All right, getting the episode off to a great start here.
What's up, Dick?
What's up? What's up with you? All right, fine. And also joining us is our good friend, Mr. Bradford. Brad, what's shaking?
Yeah, John stole my joke.
That's how it goes around here on Christmas Creeps. We've been doing this for 5 years, and it's never more fun to snipe a joke out from under somebody than it is to do it on this show.
Yep.
So, guys, today, if you're not familiar, is National Bugs Bunny Day for some reason.
You made that up. That's not real.
I didn't make it up. Warner Brothers probably made it up. The people that run BizarreHolidays.com or wherever that website is called listed it as real. I'm taking it as read. So today is National Bugs Bunny Day.
BizarreHolidays.com? What is this strange / website? Is this a GeoCities age website with like flashing GIFs on the homepage? What's going on here, Joe?
Excuse me, I take it back. It's not Bizarre Holidays, it's holidayinsights.com.
Sounds a little more legit. It does not sound like the rotten.com of holiday websites now.
It basically is, though, because you were not wrong. It has a very GeoCities look to it still in the year of our Lord 2019.
Wonderful.
But yes, today...
Speaking of things that are outdated...
Speaking of things that are outdated and also not wonderful, it is National Bugs Bunny Day. And for that reason, this week on the show, we are discussing the 2006 direct-to-video Bah Humduck, A Looney Tunes Christmas, which is about Daffy Duck, but you know what? It also features one Mr. Bugs Bunny.
Leave Billy West alone.
Leave him alone, yeah.
Yeah, about the only positive thing I can say about this, just right off the bat, is that a lot of really good voice actors and also Tara Strong got paid, so.
Ouch.
More or less. You know, okay.
Was Tara Strong the girl pig? Was she the daughter? Okay.
I'm just joking. I mean, Tara Strong is a one-trick pony, but she does that trick very well.
Mop, mop, mop. Thank you.
That's very true. She makes a living doing that one trick. Gotta respect that.
Okay.
I wasn't gonna go anywhere blue with that joke, Brad. Give me a break.
Oh, I noticed in the credits, one of the developers of this was a guy named Bradford Keats. Brad, defend your involvement with this catastrophe.
I just graduated from high school, so I probably am not qualified to work in an animation studio or as a producer.
But they hired you anyway.
That's how it works in the
direct
video department.
Can't fool me with that fake last name, Keats.
Bradford Keaton.
That's how Michael Keaton refers to himself when he's out in public. Mike Keats. So he goes to the grocery store and buys groceries under the name Mike Keats. Everyone knows that. I'm not entirely sure where to start tonight, except to say that we've been doing this show for about 5 years now, and we really haven't touched the subject of A Christmas Carol, and we just kind of fell backwards into it this week. And I put this out there on Twitter the other night, just kind of as a goof, that like in our brand new quest to find the worst Christmas Carol adaptation, I think we hit it. We got it in one. Am I wrong?
It's so bad. It's not even bad. It's just insipid and not good.
I mean,
I'll say it's kind of lacking in like redeeming qualities, including a reason to exist. But it's not that Jim Carrey CGI nightmare. So,
yeah,
I guess. Okay. The I'm only gonna play devil's advocate here the one time. The thing that Jim Carrey CGI nightmare has going for it is that the actual Dickens story is almost literally the script. Like, they just read the book verbatim.
This one retreated to, like, 20-plus minutes total of just slapstick. And I'm, yeah, sure, it's Looney Tunes, but...
Yeah, this was, like, 45 minutes, and I checked the timer. 20 minutes were left when the actual ghost started showing up.
Yeah they sped on through it remarkably fast.
Come on, son. And this special puts me in a strange position where I wholeheartedly agree with everything they're going for as like a send-up of capitalism and consumerism, especially around the holidays, and mistreatment of workers. But man, oh manatee, this is just not good. This is just bad.
It would be a lot easier to like get behind it and champion the message if it had any sense of couth about it at all. If it basically weren't a Looney Tunes cartoon.
Oh, I was telling you earlier, I had mentioned, it's like, it's post Mel Blanc. Nothing good has come of the Looney Tunes franchise since maybe Tiny Toons, and that depends on if it was part of your childhood or not.
Yeah, who but was like, the intended audience for this thing?
That is a very good
grandmas,
question.
Grandmas who see it in the checkout line in November and know that their grandchildren are coming and need something to put on the television.
Because this is, I mean, I'm not kidding, direct to video. I'm holding a copy of it in my hand right now because I'm that kind of person. I don't even remember when this came out in 2006. I don't even remember hearing about it. It just appeared one day.
All I can really think is that this is made for Looney Tunes animators, like made by and for.
Pretty much.
It features cameos of characters that like not even people who like Looney Tunes really remember, like
the two mice, whatever they're, and they had their names.
Hubie and Birdie. Yeah.
Hubie and Birdie. Yeah, and the red like guy.
Yeah, Gossamer, yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at a list of characters, and I recognize, I think, all of these names, but at the same time, it's just kind of like, you didn't need all... Oh, I don't know who Macintosh are, I'll say that. They're on this list, what the fuck. But I recognize more or less all of these names, and a lot of them are just kind of like, oh, hey, we remember that this character exists and we own them.
Yeah, Goldilocks and the Three Bears that appeared in that one really good episode, and that was pretty much it.
Just for reference, Mac and Tosh are the two gophers. So
I don't even remember seeing them in this special. That's how unremarkable they are.
Same, basically. Like, actually, my brain kind of shorted out, and I just thought, oh, Chip and Dale are in this for some reason. Okay.
World's the most ambitious crossover.
2 whole years before the Marvel Cinematic Universe even got started.
Mm.
Yeah, that's kind of the other thing too. Like we're recording. We actually like pull back the curtain a little bit. We're recording this on the eve of Avengers Endgame, and so it kind of makes sense for us to be talking about Warner Brothers instead tonight because I want to talk about literally anything besides Marvel at this point. And
hey,
so sure.
See what Tony Stark is up to. He's doing it live.
Doing it live. Spoilers. And in person.
No, I don't know. Anyways, let's not talk about Marvel or Disney. I mean, actually I'm going to make a slight aside into Disney because just to go back on this whole thing about how Warner Brothers really has not, I mean, the collections that they released on DVD were good, but other than that, I want to say that nothing new has been done with the Looney Tunes franchise since Tiny Toons. But you can look at these other media companies, like, actually, Disney, surprisingly enough, probably because their license on Mickey is going to run out soon, have actually been releasing, honestly, really good shorts featuring Mickey Mouse on YouTube for free. And it's kind of amazing, and they're really wicked good. Check it out.
Right. And there are like DVD, like massive collections of DVD sets that you can go and buy for tons of money because they printed like 10 copies of each. But they're out there if you want them. Like, as far as Looney Tunes go, it's very scattershot. Like, this watching this short got me to look up a lot about Chuck Jones. And yes. I'm surprised there aren't more Chuck Jones collections, like, available than there are. There's maybe one or two, but not, like, on the full breadth of his, like, output. And that's weird to me.
It's a crime, really. Do you are up on this media stuff, just to get into news a little bit. Do you know if... Which one? Oh, no, they acquired Fox, not Warner Brothers, right?
Oh, yeah, Disney? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, never yeah.
But it's kind of weird. They had those huge DVD box sets in the aughts, around the time that this came out, actually.
Yeah.
And they were good for what they were, but I don't think we've really seen much of, like, a Looney Tunes collection. Like, I don't know,
well,
man.
The market's really kind of... The market's kind of not there for it anymore because so much of this stuff has gone to the way of streaming. But where exactly do you go to stream Looney Tunes anymore?
Well, part of the problem is they keep doing everything except just fucking make Looney Tunes.
It's true. Yeah.
Like they're doing the fucking Duck Dodgers show, Sylvester and Tweety Mysteries. Literally anything they can do other than make shorts, they're doing.
Like I actually conflated Looney Tunes in my head with Scooby-Doo, and I just kind of assumed that Bah Humduck was like, oh yeah, one of those litany of Scooby-Doo things that they just keep making all the time for no reason. And no, it's not. It's completely separate from that because A, it's not Scooby-Doo, but B, this is only the fourth of five direct-to-video releases that Warner Brothers has ever made for Looney Tunes.
Ever? Wow.
Ever. The first one was the Tiny Toons movie from like 92.
What I Did for Summer Vacation?
Yeah, yeah.
Tiny Toons was a show by and for perverts.
Excuse me, sir.
Excuse me.
Excuse
it was by.
Me.
Excuse me. It was by teenage girls for perverts.
Excuse me. Right. It was by perverts for children.
It was by teenage girls for perverts and children.
I will defend Looney Tunes or Tiny Toons. To my final breath because I grew up with it. I was like 4 when it came out, and it was part of my childhood.
Yeah, I think we were like prime time for Looney Tunes.
We're not that older than you.
I know
that much, but it's still in retrospect you realize, oh yeah, that show was made by some really perverted guys, and some other really perverted guys watched it. In addition to like a periphery audience of actual children.
It was kind of My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic before My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic. And I'm sure it spawned a legion of furries.
The real legacy of Tiny Toons is that it spawned Animaniacs and Freakazoid, and that's kind of where I want to keep it.
And bless them, because those were two superior shows.
Absolutely. But let's talk about Bah Humduck for a few minutes, because
do we have to?
Yes, you we absolutely have to. I will, just because I actually am the host of the show, and I'm steering this fucking pirate ship. And now I'm Adam Carolla, because I'm calling my podcast a pirate ship. So is there somebody come and shoot me now?
Hey, John, you want a mutiny?
I'll be up there in like half an hour with a gun.
Okay, great. Awesome. So by the time I finish explaining the plot, I will be dead.
Pretty sure you can explain the plot in 5 sentences, boyo.
Daffy Duck is Ebenezer Scrooge. Actually,
there
no.
We go.
He's not really Ebenezer Scrooge so much as he is Bill Murray's character in the movie Scrooged.
I have a question, actually, about Daffy Duck. Okay. At what point in the Looney Tunes timeline did, like, the Looney Tunes creators go from Daffy Duck is, like, just a psychotic idiot to, like, Daffy Duck is an asshole?
Probably about halfway through the original run of Looney Tunes. Like, you can see it in, for example, like, Rabbit Season, Duck Season. Like, he's a total dick.
But even then, it's more that just that he has, like, zero chill and cannot, like... He is just always red, mad, and nude at Bugs Bunny, basically, is his entire character. He's not really an asshole. He is just always getting suckered in by whatever the fuck Bugs is doing.
Yeah, I want to say that's actually, somebody can correct me out there if I'm wrong. I think that might actually be like a Chuck Jones invention. because I feel like the Daffy Duck that we know and love kind of came around when he started directing shorts. And like a lot of that stuff is like the rabbit season, duck season stuff. That's him. So I want to say the
duck
answer
amok.
I want to say the answer to that is just the 50s.
Yeah.
No, like, but like sometime I think in like the 70s or 80s when they started doing newer Looney Tunes stuff, relative to the merry melodies and everything, just Daffy Duck just went to full like, oh, this character's just an asshole.
Well, I think part of that is due to the fact that they, I mean, if you think about it, Daffy is the type A foil to Bugs Bunny's type B, like, chill, Hugh kind of mentality, you know? So, of course he's going to be an asshole, because Bugs isn't really an asshole. He's just down to chill.
Yeah, Daffy's whole thing is he wants to be Bugs Bunny.
Do you think he wants to be Bugs?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Like,
never really thought about it that
basically,
way before.
Basically, his whole thing is he's jealous that Bugs Bunny is more famous than he is. That's how I've always seen it.
Yeah, I guess.
And so, like, Daffy's thing is, like, I will take every scrap of screen time they will give me because I'm vain and a little bit insecure and fuck Bugs Bunny.
Hmm.
That's Daffy Duck. And okay. So it makes sense that they would make him the Scrooge analog in this thing.
Well, yeah, naturally.
And then you think, okay, so then Bob Cratchit is definitely Bugs Bunny, right? No, he's not. Bugs Bunny is Bugs Bunny, and he is in this short basically to say, look at this asshole right here.
Yeah.
And that's not really even a joke. That's kind of what he does. He just constantly stands there and points a sign at Daffy saying, you know, with the Remus for Screwball on it. And
yeah, but I don't think, actually, I was thinking about this just in like casting choices, if you'll forgive the term, in this,
sure,
in this equivalent of a Christmas Carol. I don't think Bugs would have worked as a Cratchit because Bugs doesn't take any shit.
No, you're absolutely, you know, right.
I don't think Bugs it would have worked
served
in that
as Fred Scrooge, which is basically what he is in this show and this special.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. And then, but here's the thing. Well, they had to put Daffy in it, so I guess that's the only place that Daffy works. But I could have easily seen, like, an Elmer Fudd sort of situation going on for the leader, for the Ebenezer Scrooge stand-in.
I feel, or like, even Yosemite Sam, if not for the fact that Yosemite Sam already looks like the Ghost of Christmas Present.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
And
or
I
if
totally
you wanted,
called...
If, or if you wanted to go the Tiny Toons route, there is a whole human-ass character in that whose whole thing is, I love money, and his name is Montana Max.
That's true. Montana Max would have been a really good fit for this.
But oh, it was 2006, and no one knows who the Tiny Toons are anymore, so you gotta throw that out.
We do.
Like, Yeah. The Tiny Toons kind of lost cultural cachet, like, as soon as it went off the air.
More or less.
It's what happens when you spend all of your time making jokes about what's on TV in 1991. It kind of stops meaning anything after 1991.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, most mm-hmm. of the things that I remember about Tiny Toons were, like, MTV parodies, and that's kind of it.
I remember they did a couple of They Might Be Giants music videos for some reason.
That's true.
Yes, Triangle Man and Istanbul to Constantinople, and then also, just for the sake of not doing it, They Might Be Giants when they did Respect as well.
Yeah, they did.
I remember that episode.
Yeah. Dang, put that in the show notes.
I'm sure those
music videos are up on YouTube.
Yeah, I was watching Triangle Man last night. So, Daffy is this Scrooge character who runs a department store, like a huge, like the world's biggest asshole, and he's keeping it open on Christmas Eve because, of course, he does. And basically, all the other Looney Tunes work for him at the department store, except for Bugs Bunny, because Bugs Bunny is Bugs Bunny,
and also Petunia Pig because she's dead.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, you know what? We got another dead mom alert. Guess what? There's a dead mom in this thing too.
Oh my god! I didn't even realize that. You're right.
what is it about dead moms anyway? No, you know what? Let's not even ask that question. My favorite zombie Christmas hybrid. Yes, let's do it.
Oh.
Yeah. So Porky Pig is the assistant manager of this store, and Daffy is keeping everybody... Hang on. What is the situation with Daffy keeping people at work on Christmas Eve?
He keeps them all until the store ever.
Yeah, he keeps them all until midnight and then opens the store again at 5 a.m.
That's what it is.
That's the situation.
So when
the store's only customer we see is like Penelope the cat
and Bugs Bunny, kind of.
Bugs and Penelope the cat immediately, Penelope the cat immediately gets hit on by Pepe Le Pew because of course she does.
She doesn't get hit on; she gets sexually assaulted by Pepe Le Pew. Are you kidding? Because it's 2006, boyo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, by the way, we should mention, like, the fact that it's 2006 and a lot of this is still going on kind of baffles me, because guess who else is also working at the grocery store? It's Speedy Gonzalez, and he's doing his Speedy Gonzalez thing. And it's 2006, and I don't understand why he's here. I thought we had a whole ordeal about this.
Yeah, and that ordeal was resolved by a bunch of Mexican people going, what the fuck, we like Speedy Gonzalez.
It's the most popular menu item at any given Mexican restaurant.
What is it, a taco enchilada, rice and beans?
Basically, yeah. It's like, it's the easiest and cheapest thing to order on the menu.
All right.
Hence why it's called the Speedy Gonzalez.
I think it's always literally just what I said, though. It's a bunch of restaurants have like a standardized menu template they use.
Yeah.
And the Speedy Gonzalez is always the same. It's a taco, something else, I think an enchilada, rice and beans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so no, you're totally right. Kind of like Chinese restaurants, then.
Yeah.
I worked in one. I'm qualified to talk about this.
Yes.
Anyways.
Yeah, anywhoosin. So, Porky Pig's daughter is distraught that she can't spend more time with her dad on Christmas. And also, she mentions the fact that since mom died, she can't spend any time with her dad. And that makes them both sad. So, after being enough of an asshole for about 30 minutes... it is revealed to Daffy that he is going to be visited by three spirits by Sylvester, who is basically Jacob Marley, even though it's never established that the two of them ever worked together.
Oh, no, they didn't. It was Sylvester owned another store and was an even bigger dickhead than Daffy. Therefore, he was Daffy's idol.
Because his name was Sylvester the Investor. That's right.
And he was such a big dickhead that one of his employees murdered him with a forklift.
to which Daffy's response was very good. He was like, Fleck, I'd never buy an employee a forklift.
Yeah.
Womp, womp.
Super duper cheapskate. And then
there is a very good joke in here.
Okay. One good gag, yes.
One good gag. Bugs comes up and says, the little guy told me that I asked him where to find some cheap skates and he told me to come up here.
Womp, I did womp. Laugh at that.
It was good.
It was the one good pun. You got it.
God help me, I laughed. So then we are whisked away to the three spirits. First spirit, Christmas past, is Granny and Tweety. Sure, okay, why not? And they show Daffy at the orphanage where Daffy was stuck and left alone while all the other kids were adopted for Christmas. And aw, sad baby Daffy at the orphanage.
Interesting plot point. Apparently adoptions only happen at Christmas because all of the other kids get adopted at Christmas, and she's like, oh, well, look at it. Look on the bright side. You get to spend another year at the Lucky Duck Orphanage. It's like, I guess they only come on Christmas Eve. That's kind of
That's kind of a dick move. But also, that you just referenced it, the Lucky Duck Orphanage. The name of the store that Daffy Duck will eventually run is called Lucky Duck Industries or something to that effect. So
the Lucky Duck Supermart, I believe.
The Lucky Duck Supermarket. So he was so crushingly just destroyed by this as a child that he took the name and used it to his own evil ends.
Okay, I have a question here. This is a segment called Jonathan Doesn't Know What the Fuck Christmas Carol is actually about. Because in the actual Christmas Carol, what does Scrooge see with the Ghost of Christmas Past?
Scrooge is at a boarding school, and the vision that he sees is all the other kids getting to go home over Christmas break, and Scrooge is left behind because his parents don't want him back home. And then the last thing that Christmas Past shows him is that his sister is coming to take him home because they finally decided that Scrooge can come home. So basically, he spent his entire boarding school career being deprived of going home for Christmas.
Okay.
Hence the not liking Christmas.
Yeah, I feel Daffy's is a bit more tenuous of a connection here.
Yeah, because it's not like the orphanage doesn't celebrate Christmas. I mean, as we've established from Silent Night, Deadly Night, orphanages celebrate Christmas.
In a big way.
In a big, bad way. Maybe that's not the frame of reference we should be using here, but there it is. We have further proof that orphanages do celebrate Christmas.
You know what's really kind of fucked up, actually, is that both pieces of media that involve orphanages that we've watched kind of go with the line that orphanages breed psychopaths or sociopaths.
More or less.
Why couldn't really bad just message. Make Silent Night, Deadly Night?
Silent Night, Deadly Duck.
Punish.
Oh my god.
Hey, media, let's stop.
Garbage day.
Let's stop bashing orphanages. Thank you.
Stop bashing orphanages?
You know what I'm saying. What's the word I'm looking for? Not marginalized, but...
Casting a negative light on what the good work that orphanages do.
Correct. There we go.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's one of those cinematic shorthands for sadness that movies like to do. Like, oh, orphanage automatically equals sad kid.
Orphanage equal damaged goods.
Yeah, there it is. Which, let's kind of step out of this minefield, because I feel like we're going to step on some toes.
Let's just call it what it is. It's lazy, it's painting with a broad brush, and
exactly.
It's no good. Cut it out. All right, there we go. We're good.
Okay.
Wasn't there an orphanage in one of the dog movies, too?
Oh, well, there was the dog orphanage in the first Santa Paws, wasn't there, with Tiny?
That would be a
also known as an animal rescue or a pound.
Yes, the dog orphanage.
The one where Clementine from Reno 911 was the asshole orphanage owner.
Oh yeah, Santa Buddies 2. Okay, yeah. You're right. There was an actual orphanage. But now my brain is percolating with thoughts of Orphanage for Dogs, a sequel to Hotel for Dogs.
Bordello for Dogs.
So to peel back the curtain a little bit, here at Christmas Creeps HQ, we've also been working on a Christmas movie bingo card. And I think one of the items that we need to add in addition to dead parents, which is maybe the free space, is orphanage. For humans and or dogs.
Hang on. Don't orphanage and dead parents kind of go hand in hand?
You would think that.
One sort of implies the other.
Well, some kids who end up in orphanages don't have dead parents, I must say.
That is very true. That is very true. And they are different cinematic shorthands. So yeah, let's do that.
Some orphans get adopted by the Dragonborn and it turns out okay.
Yep. Some orphans get adopted by John Ritter as a means of last resort.
Oh my goodness, let's finish this plot summary. This, like, you've read A Christmas Carol, or you know
I've
about
obviously
A Christmas
not.
Carol. Well,
John,
you know enough
not.
Of... John, explain to me the plot of Christmas Carol. You know it.
Alright, so I'm explaining Christmas Carol?
Yes. Just
okay,
the broad strokes.
Marley was dead. That's the part
to
I
begin
know.
With, yes.
Okay, yeah. So Scrooge is an asshole, and he's trying to, and he's a moneylender, I think. And Bob Cratchit is his one employee that he yells at a bunch. And Bob is like, "Hey, yo, it's Christmas. Can I have a fucking break?" And Scrooge is like, "No, that sucks. I like money."
Yep. Keep
and
going.
And then Marley comes back as a ghost covered in chains, and it's also Waldorf and Statler. And they're just like, hey, yo, you're being a dick about this. Why don't you lighten up a little bit? And Scrooge is kind of like, I ain't afraid of no ghosts. And
you're doing great. Keep it up.
And
kid.
So Marley is like, okay, I'm going to get more ghosts. And so he goes and gets the Ghost of Christmas Past, which I think is a woman? Question mark.
Yep. Keep and it up.
She takes him to the boarding school, and he's like, hey, oh, well, obviously you're a dick about Christmas because your family was dicks about Christmas.
You got a freebie there from Joe, but keep going.
Yes. And then the Ghost of Christmas Present shows up, and it's Hagrid, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And they go and visit Bob Cratchit and the Tiny Tim, the robot from Futurama.
Good job.
And then the Ghost of Christmas Future shows up, and it's the Grim Reaper, basically, and it's Here Lies Beavis, He Never Scored.
Correct. Basically, you got the
finish line is in sight.
The finish line is he runs around going like Merry Christmas movie house, Merry Christmas pharmacy.
You got the broad strokes, and you got it entirely through cultural osmosis, which was completely what I was going for, because I have never fully read A Christmas Carol either, but we all know the plot points. And basically, the entire plot summary of the rest of this movie, or short, or whatever you want to call it, is Daffy Duck is Ebenezer Scrooge, and he's an asshole to his employees, and then he has a change of heart because people show him what an asshole he is.
Okay. Well, just for completion's sake, let me finish this summary of this short.
Okay.
So we got to Christmas Past, and then Christmas Present shows up, and it's Yosemite Sam. And Yosemite Sam shows him Porky Pig's home life with his daughter Petunia, wishing that Daffy wasn't such a huge piece of shit so Porky could have Christmas Day off.
Excuse me, Petunia is dead. This is Penny Pig.
Are you serious?
Is it Priscilla, I thought?
Priscilla.
Okay, excuse me. Petunia's dead. That's right. Petunia was dead to begin with. Then Christmas Yet to Come shows up, and it's the Tasmanian Devil. And he shows Daffy a grave, and the name on the grave is literally the words, I'm dead. Which I thought was a nice touch. A nice lazy touch.
Speaking of lazy, let me say I fucking called it that one of the ghosts was going to be Taz.
Of course, because he's going to fuck shit up. That's what Taz does.
Well, not just that, but you kind of have to look at the store employees and be like, who's not here?
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
Is there any Looney Tunes hard hitter that didn't make it into this short, now that I think about it?
I was going to say Foghorn Leghorn, but then he shows up at the very end.
He's part of the employee party. They just don't get to him in the 20 minutes of slapstick in the beginning.
I mean, even Marvin the Martian. Marvin the Martian works at the store, which might be the most depressing thing ever.
Yeah, I'm
like
looking
a space
at
alien list, from another planet, and
list
he's
of characters.
Regular 9-to-5 here.
Daffy Duck, Porky Pig, Egghead Jr., Henry Hawk, Barnyard Dog Jr., Bugs Bunny, Pepe Le Pew, Speedy, Marvin the Martian, Elmer Fudd, Wile E. Coyote, Roadrunner, Foghorn Leghorn, The Three Bears, Sam the Sheepdog, Claude Cat, I don't even know who he is, Charlie Dog, I don't even know who Charlie Dog is either.
Yeah,
Miss,
I don't know.
Miss Prissy.
Oh, he's the one. He's the one with like the shag haircut. I think that's Charlie Dog.
No, that's Sam Sheepdog. Macintosh, Hippity Hopper, damn. Beaky Buzzard, Pete Puma, Hubie and Birdie, Gossamer, Penelope Pussycat, Sylvester, Granny and Tweety, Yosemite Sam, Tasmanian Devil, Priscilla Pig, which I think is probably just an invention of this, and then Playboy fucking Penguin.
Oh yeah.
Yep. About
which I kept calling... Michigan J. Frog.
Michigan J. Frog
did not show up, which is a fucking fucking war crime. Come on, people.
Okay, I get why they didn't include him, because you have to include him under a very specific set of circumstances, and I don't think this story allowed for it.
I mean, the character is literally a dead frog, so.
About the only thing I could think of, because this is post 1995, is Lola Bunny wasn't in it, but I don't know if she's been in anything since Space Jam.
No, she was a Space Jam original.
Oh, I think she was in like some cartoon series since Space Jam, but that was it. She might have been in Back in Action. I don't know.
Oh, she had the... What was the stupid superhero thing they did?
You know what I'm talking about?
Lunatics. I'm pretty sure she was in Lunatics.
I love that we both just like nailed Lunatics right away. What a stupid fucking show.
Never seen it again. nothing good has been done with Looney Tunes since arguably Tiny Toons. Arguably since Looney Tunes.
Okay. Well, okay. Let me wrap this up real quick. One of my favorite details during the Christmas Yet to Come sequence, while Porky and his daughter are standing at Daffy Duck's grave, Porky, or maybe Bugs Bunny, says he left the store to himself in his will, which is illegal. So the store closed and we're all out of jobs. Like, sure, why not? Just a dumb piece of circular logic that, sure, it's a Looney Tunes thing. He left the store to himself in his will. You know what? An asshole would totally do that.
I think that's the one chuckle I had, actually, was that stupid friggin' line. Because, of course.
And then he starts giving, and he wakes up and he gives all of his employees, you know, raises and vacations and days off. And then, you know, he buys Marvin the Martian a rocket ship so he can go home for the holidays. And then he buys Wile E. Coyote. I assumed he was going to just kill the Roadrunner for Wile E. Coyote, but that didn't happen. And then the cartoon completely betrays the spirit of Looney Tunes by having Penelope willingly kiss Pepe Le Pew at the end, which I kind of hate.
Yeah.
That happens a few times in the cartoons, though. It's always the reversal fortune at the end. Like, there's one where she loses her sense of smell.
Episode. And then there's a whole, yeah.
Yeah, I know that, but it's still never set right with me as an adult. Yeah,
she immediately, she loses her sense of smell and immediately turns into a teen girl squad. She's like, let's go get some boys!
Okay.
I want to kiss every boy!
Also, it should be noted that at one point Daffy Duck says that he's not afraid of anything except for two things: low quarterly profit projections and personal intimacy. Which is bullshit, because as far as I'm aware, ducks are the most notorious rapists in the animal kingdom. But maybe Daffy Duck isn't among them.
You're not wrong.
So, you know what? That is Bah Humduck. It is an interminable 46 minutes of
it's
Christmas
not
Carol
good
bullshit,
and it's very 2006. But it kind of raises a magnifying glass to the current gilded age that we're living in. Like I'm all for taking the piss out of, like, obviously this was leveled at like the Walmarts of the world and expanding Black Fridays, which was just beginning at the time that this came out. But really, true, it's expanded a lot, and it just makes me think about a lot, like, the line when you're talking about, I'm gonna get real for a second, like, he willed everything to himself. Like, the Jeff Bezoses of the world, like, is this man going to, like, put his brain into a jar and become an AI and leave it to the AI? It's crazy what's going on right now as far as like exploitation of workers and everything that's currently occurring in our day and age. And it's almost cute. Like, I mean, they were real concerns then, but they're so much more of a concern now, and it's interesting.
Oh totally. It's like actually frighteningly prescient the way this kind of portrays like Christmas corporate culture, like consumer culture, you know?
Yes.
Around the holidays. Yeah. But and if this movie were made today, it certainly would have been in on the joke. But I feel like even in 2006 when they made this, they probably weren't even thinking about that. It's just, well, how do we update A Christmas Carol? Let's do it like this.
And it just doesn't quite get there. Which I feel like if they did this adaptation today, hopefully they would get there a little bit closer, you know?
So what you're saying is they need to remake Bah Humduck in 2019.
They need to make remake Bah Humduck, but they need to put more socialism into it.
I am 100% for that. They also need to put, just in general, more Dickens into this. Because this really does kind of run roughshod over the original story.
It's kind of an affront, really. It's not good.
It kind of pays lip service to it, but in a way that kind of makes me think that they don't care about the story and they're really just referencing it because it's a thing you do, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. This whole thing is a direct-to-DVD movie that was made to sell a direct-to-DVD movie. There's nothing else to it, but this is not... Yeah.
Like when Bugs Bunny like looks at the camera and says, you know, bad things happen to people who mess with Christmas. Like he doesn't, first of all, you know, he doesn't mean it, but like, you know, the short doesn't mean it either. It's just saying it because it knows that's what Dickens would want them to say. And now we can move on and make jokes. And it just doesn't work. It feels insincere, which is an odd thing I never thought I'd say about the Looney Tunes.
It's insincere, and I really struggle to ever say this, but so many of the films we watch are trying to do something, at least. I know that some of them are profit-driven, but this maybe feels the most profit-driven. Of course, there are the Buddy movies, but this exists because it's going to sell DVDs, and that is the sole reason that it exists. Nobody has a vision. Nobody is doing this aside from this is what somebody told us to do, and this is what we're making.
It's pretty craven, yeah. And if there's any one positive that I will give this, it's that it's kind of nice to see actual cell animation again. Like, I forgot what that looked like.
I mean, the positive I'll get this is that some voice actors I like got paid.
That too. So, that too.
Billy West needs to eat, and I am in support of that. But
I mean, the cast real quick. In addition to like some people who are pretty in-house players of like Looney Tunes, like Joe Alasky and June Foray, they were just Looney Tunes people.
Yeah.
Jim Cummings, Maurice LaMarche, Tara Strong, Billy West, Dee Bradley Baker, and Bob Bergen were all in this. Which, where do I know the name Bob Bergen? Oh yeah, Bob Bergen is the guy that's Luke Skywalker whenever Mark Hamill won't pick up the phone.
Oh, okay.
What did he play in this? I don't know these things.
He does Porky and Tweety in almost everything now that involves them.
Wow.
Here's one thing I did kind of pick up on when I was looking up about this earlier was that so Billy West voices Bugs Bunny here
and Elmer Fudd.
Well, he also voiced Bugs Bunny in Space Jam, but in between those two. And Looney Tunes Back in Action, it was Joe Alasky. Well, Joe Alasky is also in Bah Humduck, not as Bugs Bunny, but as Daffy Duck. But he wasn't Daffy Duck in Space Jam, and he wasn't Daffy Duck in Back in Action. So there's a really weird like cross-pollination of who does and doesn't play these characters at any given time.
I wonder if these people take it personally, and one of them considers themselves the best Bugs and the best Daffy, and they're one like, I can't believe they hired that asshole to play this character.
Probably. One of the problems is, after Mel Blanc passed away, Warner Brothers basically alternated through three guys mainly, Joe Alasky, Jeff Bergman, and Greg Burson. They just kept switching between all three of them for different voices.
Mm. Yeah. It's kind of a dire situation with Looney Tunes in the state that they're in right now, which is not a situation I'd ever thought we'd be discussing on this show.
Speaking of Christmas, can I just narc on my neighbors really quick?
Yes, please.
I am looking through, I have my blinds open right now, and this is not to be creepy, my neighbors have their blinds open right now as well. It is April 25th. Their Christmas tree is still up in their living room.
You're at Joe's house. Okay.
This is not a bit. That Christmas tree is still there. When can I call the police?
I believe you're allowed to call the police after Cinco de Mayo.
And I'm losing my shit because my neighbors next to me, that I can't see right now because they're next to me, not across from me, still have a Halloween-themed ghost static cling up.
Oh my god.
Your neighbors fucking own. I love your neighbors.
I'm all in on that, but having a Christmas tree up in your personal space, taking up like 10 cubic feet of space, what are you doing?
Like on the... You have to flex on him. Put up birthday decorations.
And then leave them up all year.
Yeah. Somebody's birthday.
Oh man.
I get it though, because like on the one hand, it's 4 months after Christmas, y'all. You should pack this shit up. But on the other hand, hey, it's 6 months to Halloween. We gotta start getting ready now.
I'm not I don't want to be that guy that, like, hates on people for leaving up Christmas lights outside.
You're on the fucking Christmas podcast that does Christmas all year round.
No.
You're absolutely not allowed to do this to your neighbor's bread. You know that,
Come on. It's much worse than leaving up lights outside. That's whatever. It's hard work. I get it. But this is taking up, like, the space of a piece of furniture and you haven't taken it down yet. What are you doing?
I mean, I'm assuming it's a fake tree.
It's absolutely fake.
Okay, good.
It is not.
It's the keeping a corpse on your living room couch.
Yeah, no, it is not a real tree. I would be very concerned if it was a real tree. And you know what? If it is a real tree, maybe I'd keep it up too if it's as green and bright and full as it is right now. It's a Christmas miracle.
Yeah, what the hell is their secret?
Yeah, I want to know, but no, I think it's a fake tree and they have it up in their living room. All right, anyways, sorry. You live your life.
Brad's neighbors are weird.
You do what you do. I've actually met them. They're nice, but it's kind of weird. Anyways.
Nice and kind of weird. Okay. Anyway, so
probably what could describe me as well, hopefully.
All right, so Bah Humduck. I mean, I said this in the back channel, and I kind of think it's true. That Looney Tunes has been creatively stagnant for longer than the Muppets have at this point, and it depresses me. And I don't.
Sorry, go ahead.
No. I was gonna just start rambling words. Go on, please.
I mean, I'm a Muppets stan. I thought the ABC series was kind of good. Anyways, bad movies. There were bad movies. There were a lot of bad movies. But anyways.
No, I was honestly just saying that, like, this is older than the 2011, like, Muppets revival, is all I'm saying. Like, the Muppets
The movie with Sudeikis?
Yeah. Siegel.
Whatever. I don't know celebrities.
Brad got Quentin Tarantino and Guillermo del Toro mixed up the other day, and I'm still gonna rag on him for it.
I did. I thought Tarantino directed the first Hellboy movie until I was mistaken. So that's on me.
I would so love that. You have no idea. Like, I saw the new Hellboy movie and it was garbage, and Tarantino would only be a tenfold improvement. Mm. So anyway, Bah Humduck is garbage. Also. And we've kind of talked about why and how, but now we have the sticky business of doing the crankometer about this thing.
Yes.
So join us here over on the crankometer, which is our patented scale. It's an X and Y axis of how to rate these movies by two different metrics. The X axis is how Christmassy a film is, and the Y axis is how good a film is. Gentlemen... How Christmassy is Bah Humduck, a Looney Tunes Christmas original movie?
I mean, it's kind of Christmassy.
I mean, it's based on a Christmas carol.
It's based on a Christmas carol. It's about Christmas spirit. It's absolutely a jaded capitalistic remake of a Christmas carol, but...
Brad, I feel like that's all you need to say. It is a jaded capitalistic remake of A Christmas Carol. Therefore, it gets Christmas wrong. We are allowed to award it negative points.
let's do a thought experiment really quick, actually.
Okay.
Allow me this, and this will not end up on the official crankometer, but in your boys' opinion, where does A Christmas Carol stand on the crankometer?
I feel like it's like a nat 5. Like, you can't get any more Christmassy than A Christmas Carol.
And quality?
It depends on the version.
I'm talking about the original, the OG Dickens.
I mean, it depends on how you feel about Dickens. I'm willing to say it's at least a 4.
I'll say it's a 4. Because Dickens is a bit wordy because he got paid by the word, and also he is very heavy-handed.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
But
I feel that's fair.
It was the 1800s, and standards were different.
And you gotta get it how you live back then. I guess that's still true now.
Do you think we could really get a patent on, like, using Cartesian coordinates to rank things?
Maybe.
I think that's been done, my friend.
Fuck.
Many times over.
By no, who I, and how?
Let's sue Political Compass. Let's sue him.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm gonna have to agree with you on that. I think that's about right. Anyways, I just wanted to put that out there.
Okay.
Just for kind of so we can reflect and kind of center ourselves, so to speak. Like, A Christmas Carol is good, and it's almost the other than the Nativity is like one of the Christmas stories.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd give this like a -1 on Christmasosity because it just perverts. I mean, I'm not trying to fault like the animators or anybody.
Well, again, no, we're not talking about Y-axis. We're talking about X-axis here.
Okay, Christmasosity. It's such a jaded, easy, lazy remake of a Christmas Carol. Like, I can't not fault it for that. They could have twisted it in so many ways and made it so much better.
Yeah, I mean, this is just kind of like they watched Scrooged like a couple months ago and kind of remembered parts of it.
Yeah. And considering how many other cartoons have done the Christmas Carol treatment, like Mr. Magoo did a Christmas Carol episode and it was so much better than this.
Yeah. It's been done so many times before and it's been done so much better before. Negative, because this is still Christmasosity, right? Okay.
Right.
-2, because it's so, I don't know.
I'm totally on your side here. I think that's perfectly appropriate.
It's so weird, too, because it's lazy and it's trite, but it doesn't lose, like, the heavy-handedness of some of it, too, where it's like, it's Christmas. You gotta be, I don't know.
You gotta be nice to people because it's Christmas. But they almost literally just say it exactly like that.
And it doesn't get any deeper than that.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of it's lost because of that. So I'm going to give it a -2. Anybody else?
I mean, I'm not going to argue a -2. And if you guys wanted to if you guys wanted to send it lower, I would entertain the idea.
Johnny but, 5.
I am torn between just agreeing to get to the fun part of this or just saying, yeah, you know what? Fuck this. And dragging the score lower.
Yeah, you know what? Fuck this. It's a -3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My game, my rules. Shorts.
All right. -3.
-3. X-axis. Y-axis. How good is Bah Humduck? Like we said, I like that people that we like are getting paid. You know, some decent voice actors in this. Some decent cell animation. Even though it is direct-to-video and kind of cheap looking, it's still not, you know, just the CG dreck that we're getting constantly nowadays. But it is kind of a poor representation of A Christmas Carol, and we
and poor representation of Looney Tunes.
Exactly. Yes. There's so much like bad aping of early Looney Tunes bits here.
Quick, Bugs, I need somewhere to hide.
Oh man, that's such a good short too. You know, the one where he's trying to hide the mobster? Like, that's an amazing short. Remember that one?
Yeah. It's, and this is all just, you're right. It's like, it's one thing to be a shitty Christmas Carol, but it's also wrapped up in, like, being a shitty sort of Looney Tunes greatest hits package, too. Which is kind of unforgivable.
It is really unforgivable. In fact, it's so unforgivable, I would almost give it a pairing of a -3, maybe even a -4, because it's just so boring and trite, and I know this is made for children, but even children deserve better than this, you know?
Is this, because of when it came out, is this kind of a case of the inmates running the asylum?
Probably, yeah.
Like, the people who grew up watching this are now making it, so they're just like, we're gonna make the same thing we liked growing up, which is...
They did a really fucking poor job of it, though.
Oh, well, of course they did, but what I mean is that there's like, no, we're going to hit the exact same joke beats because that's what we like. It's kind of like how whenever someone new starts making Batman comics, there's kind of like, oh, all of that character development? Nah, we're getting rid of all that shit. Nope.
I feel like this is sort of the natural extension of Tiny Toon Adventures, where like you had all these new animators who wanted to get their feet wet in Looney Tunes, so they were put on this job of making a new Looney Tunes. And then that got popular and big, and they became the establishment at Warner Brothers. And now they're actually literally just running Looney Tunes, and they're just running the shit into the ground. So,
Negative four.
Thanks for nothing. Negative
Smooth
four.
Move, X-Lax.
Anybody wanna fight me on this one? Negative four?
Nope.
No, it gains points for paying people I like, and also there was that one good joke.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One or two good jokes. That was about it. It was not good.
Bah Humduck is a -3, -4 on our patented crankometer scale.
It's really bad, y'all.
This is the worst thing we've watched this year, guys.
Don't watch it. Let's recap what we've watched this year, because we watched a Santa Buddies movie, didn't we?
We watched a Santa Buddies. That's absolutely right. So
this was worse than that.
Look, the Leprechaun's Christmas Gold is inscrutable, but at least I can respect it. You know, Anna and the Apocalypse had something going on in it, and that's fine. The Star, at least it didn't do the nativity story wrong. The Office, you know, we kind of liked The Office. It's The Office. You know, I love The Office. Santa Buddies, Santa Paws 2 actually, like, used Christmas in an appropriate way. It just wasn't very good.
And you know what? I'm not going to lie. It is April 25th. I still get that Mambo song about the cookies stuck in my head sometimes. There are legit good musical bits in that film. It's kind of weird, and I hate myself, but it's there.
But Bah Humduck is just a black hole of entertainment from which the only thing that lives and thrives is the almighty dollar. Like, not even laughs can escape this thing. It's horrible.
It's not good. It's really bad.
The only thing it's good for is being sold at Christmas time, which, hey, guess what? I bought this at Christmas time like 3 years ago thinking someday we'll get to this thing. And here it is.
You sure did. Did you buy it used, though?
No, I bought it on Amazon for like $2 as like a pack-in.
Oh, dang. Yeah. Okay.
They were just giving this shit away.
I wonder why.
So that's going to do it for Christmas Creeps, y'all. We finally got around to talking about A Christmas Carol, and I don't feel like it's going to be the last time we do this, because there's a lot of adaptations of Christmas Carol out there, and we're just scratching the surface. But honestly, they cannot, and none of them can be as bad as this, right? It's only up from here.
I mean, A Muppet Christmas Carol is okay. It's all right. It's fine.
It's legit pretty good.
It's fine.
Okay.
Okay. Anyways,
wow, there's gonna be some fighting words over that, aren't there?
No, I'll probably end up loving it because it's been like 15 years since I've seen it.
So just to give y'all a little bit of a tease for what's coming up next month on the show, Brad is going to be programming everything.
I'm like Max Headspace. I'm hijacking the airwaves and showing everybody my butt.
First off, that's Max Headroom, and second off, I can't record for the next 4 weeks. Sorry.
Okay, it's fine. I'm going to have to torture Joe, because we all know he loves what I'm about to talk about. No spoilers.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'll tease it by saying this. I'm glad we got some good Western animation out of the way.
Time to watch some Worker and Parasite.
Good Lord.
Speaking of Worker and Parasite, I'm looking at Bah Humduck's Wikipedia page. See also Tom and Jerry, A Nutcracker Tale, a 2007 45-minute long Tom and Jerry special.
Okay, All right. Do you think that has to be better than what we just watched? No.
Tom and Jerry is inherently worse than Looney Tunes.
Well, that's true, but I don't know how this could be worse, but I think we need to investigate in June. I think this has to happen.
We will circle back around to this in June, yes. I also have
bringing this up.
Thanks a lot, bud. Love you too.
if you want to follow us on social media, we are on most, if not all, social medias. Catch us on Twitter. You can edit in what we are on Twitter because I don't remember. We're also on Facebook.
It's at Christmas Creeps, Brad.
I don't remember these things.
What's the name of our podcast?
That's true. That's true. We're on just fucking Google us. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on LinkedIn. We're on Grindr. Get at us.
Email us anything you want at xmascreeps@gmail.com. But please don't do that. Don't actually email us anything. Email us a letter of some kind.
Please do. A photo of your recent lunch. A letter to your grandmother. Send it all.
Your most recently visited geocache coordinates?
That's true.
The sky's the limit. So, yes. So for Christmas Creeps, I'm Joseph Wade.
Bless you. And I'm Bradford.
Scrooge is after that dollar again.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas.